is The Rundown from WUFT News, exploring our community from top to bottom. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. If you've been thinking about growing plants for a while, but just don't know where to start, maybe now is the time to dig in. Welcome back to our occasional series where I sit down with experts from the University of Florida's Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences. Recently, I spoke with Tom Wickman, who's the Assistant Director for the Florida Friendly Landscaping Program, and Wendy Wilbur, the statewide coordinator for the Master Gardener Volunteer Program. This week, we're talking about houseplants.
Well, houseplants have gotten so popular ever since 2020. It just seems like the foliage industry has just exploded and people are excited about growing plants indoors again. And there are a lot of great choices, a lot of easy to grow things. And it really depends for your success. It really depends on your lighting, how much light you have and what your location where you're putting this. And so, you know, ideally, rather than just going out and buying a plant because you think it's pretty, figure out where you want to plant that or grow that plant, and then buy something that's appropriate for that location, and you'll probably be a little better off.
Think about your price point. Some of these houseplants are so expensive now. So don't start off with a $100 plant. Let's go with that $5 plant to get started. Build on that success and kind of have a feeling about what your lighting is, because that's probably one of the biggest mistakes people make, that they see it's growing in the store and they think, well, that's the amount of light it needs. But when you bring it home, it actually needs a lot more. Plants don't grow in closets. They do need that sunshine to photosynthesize and be a healthy plant.
And there's a lot of people now actually using grow lights and artificial lighting too. And those can work well, but they have to be a little closer to the plant than most people realize. And so just don't assume just because you have a small little grow light up in the ceiling that that's going to do any good for that plant that's down here on the table.
What are some of the warning signs to look out for that a plant might not be doing well?
Well, one of the first things that you look for is wilting. If the leaves are wilting, it's a pretty good indication that it needs water. When you touch the top of that soil, or if you pick up the pot and it's light, you need to increase your watering. Light frequent waterings are much more effective than a big heavy dose. But here's something interesting. Wilting also can be a sign of overwatering. So if the soil is super saturated, the plant isn't getting oxygen, and it can show that by wilting leaves as well. And another problem that we see as far as watering goes is that people will buy the plants in a beautiful container that doesn't have drainage. And so it is easy to overwater in that. And one of my favorite houseplants is African violets. And if they get too wet and sit in water, they will rot out in like 2 or 3 days. And we even know with African violets, we shouldn't water the leaves on top, because the leaves are so fuzzy, it holds onto water, it can cause rot.
Beyond the beginner plants, tell me about some of your favorite advanced or exotic plants.
Oh my gosh. Well, I love watermelon peperomia, which is a beautiful peperomia that has a heart-shaped leaf that's kind of a watermelon green with white stripes on it. That's just beautiful. One of my favorites is pink princess philodendron, which is a burgundy leaf that has pink stripes through it. That's kind of a little bit of a climber, so you have to provide some support for it. Another philodendron that I love is one called Ring of Fire. I'm obsessed with mine. It is variegated green and white, but it has bronze and gold to it. Oh, it's so beautiful.
The hybrid philodendrons are, you know, certainly very popular in the trades. The monsteras, the philodendrons, those, you know, are some of those little more advanced plants. And there's so many color variations and new selections coming out all the time. And those are some of those really expensive ones you mentioned earlier, spending $100. It's not hard to spend $300, $400, $500, $600 on some of these unique monsteras and philodendrons. But they can have some very different leaf shapes and coloration patterns.
That was Tom Wickman from the Florida Friendly Landscaping Program and Wendy Wilbur from the Master Gardener Volunteer Program. They were talking about the do's and don'ts of houseplants. If you're just joining us, this is The Rundown from WUFT News. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. Florida has a lot of stories to tell. Do you know your community's history? It's time for a trivia question. This forgotten town was the second county seat of Alachua County, but lost importance after the railroads bypassed it. It was then abandoned in the early 20th century. Stay tuned to the end of the show for the answer. The Florida Trail Association's goal is to maintain the state's miles and miles of trails, but the association is facing a growing challenge, recruiting enough new people to take up the mantle as longtime members step back. WUFT's Nicolette DeValue has more.
After 20 years at Verizon, Abe Christian retired early, only to find that life without purpose was boring.
Started off as a trail worker 10 years ago. I was out there just doing trail work. Even now when I go out and do trail work, I'm the youngest one. So we have a big issue with our base, these legacy volunteers that are out there clearing trail and even doing outreach events. They're aging out.
FTA depends on volunteers to maintain 1,500 miles of trail statewide and is ramping up its outreach efforts, like Christian's presentation at the Hogtown Creek Headwaters Nature Center on November 2nd. The event was part of Perspectives in the Park, held the first Sunday of each month and coordinated by recreation leader Ray Hafer.
My goal is for people to be curious about their local area, and there's always a different way of looking at things.
Upcoming topics include the geology of Florida rivers, frog calls, and nature photography. Nicolette DeValue, WUFT News.
For more on this story, visit our website at wuft.org/environment. What makes Thanksgiving so special isn't just the food. It's the people we share it with. So we sent out reporters Ava Simak and Sadie Johnson to ask the question, who is the relative that you're looking forward to seeing this Thanksgiving and why?
My name's Maria Diagidio. I think I'm most excited to see my brother. I'm a grad student, but I used to go to school with him at Auburn, like in our undergrad, so I haven't seen him, and it's like the first time we haven't like gone to school together in a while.
My name is Jacinta Heuser. The relative that I'm like, most forward to seeing Thanksgiving is my grandparents, to spend like as much time with them as possible. They live in Argentina and I live in Miami, so I don't see them all the time. I see them like during the holidays only.
My name is Scarlett Gutierrez. I'm most excited to see my cousin in Madrid because I haven't seen her in so long. She just got into IE, so this is my first time visiting her. So,
my name is Brooke Williamson. I'm really looking forward to seeing my grandparents because they live back at home and I don't get to see them as often, so I'm really excited to see them.
Those were people's responses on what relative they're looking forward to seeing this Thanksgiving. It was produced by WUFT's Ava Simak and Sadie Johnson. If you're just joining us, this is The Rundown from WUFT News. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. Coming up on the show, we'll hear a story from a competitive skee-ball league. That's after a short break.
The UF School of Theater and Dance presents Agbadidi, a West African dance extravaganza, November 20th through 23rd in the Constance Theater. Tickets at the UF box office. More information at arts.ufl.edu.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on The Middle, artificial intelligence is changing everything, and some of the people who built it have taken to calling it the last invention.
This is it. The world as you know it is over. Completely done. It's not about to be over. It's over.
We want to know what you think. Does AI excite you, or are you worried it'll destroy us all? That's next time on The Middle. Live on Thursday nights at 9 on WUFT.
The government shutdown has finally ended. The deal made by a group of moderate Democrats is causing yet another fight within their party. Critics worry that they have sacrificed the leverage from a successful election season. But we're going to discuss why it could actually boost their chances in 2026. I'm David Green. Join Mo Alethi, Sarah Isger, and me for the next Left, Right, and Center.
Thursday evening at 10 on WUFT 89.1, 90.1.
Support for WUFT comes from the law office of Nellinger & Associates, a Gainesville law firm serving North Central Florida for over three decades, offering services in family law, business law, estate planning, and more. Information at lawyergainesville.com.
Welcome back to The Rundown from WUFT News. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. Think back to your childhood for a moment. Do you remember the game skee-ball? Those are those little wooden balls you'd roll down a wooden ramp and wooden lane and up a ramp. If you got it in the hole, you scored some points. Here in Gainesville, there's actually a whole league dedicated to the sport. They call themselves Roll Gainesville. Back when they were known as Brewski Ball, WUFT's Krista Jensen stopped in for a visit.
The game is skee ball. Here's how it works. The player, known as a roller, steps up, grabs a ball, and tries to roll it up the ramp, aiming to land in the right plastic cup of different sizes. In Gainesville, that's the case with the local skee ball league, known as Brewski Ball. One player, Stephen McCormick, has been playing for 3 seasons, or more prominently known in the skee ball world as his third ski season.
Skee ball is the finest, most sophisticated, local, recreational, non-sport competition that you can get.
Brewski Ball is a national league, originally starting in Brooklyn before rolling its way down to Austin. In places like Gainesville, the league finds bars which can accommodate them with their skee ball lanes. The local team plays at the Arcade Bar downtown, more informally known as Barcade. The league isn't just about rolling balls and scoring the most points. It's also built a strong sense of community over the years. For Jonathan McAllister, he's been a part of this community since it was brought to Gainesville in 2017.
It's more of like a friendly league where everyone just like is very welcoming. And that's what brought us into the league a lot. Is like there's just so much like love and like passion for like just be good people to each other. And that's what kept me in the league going for so long, because I know there are people who come here who like they don't do anything. You know, they just work and go home and they need some kind of outlet. And this is almost like their outlet. Like, hey, this is their one day a week where they have a great time.
Anthony Verde has been rolling for about 6 years on and off and was playing on the team Thought Pocket Summer.
It's become a little family, a little community. It's not what I expected when I first started rolling, but I'm very glad and grateful that I found it in this little community.
According to the official Brewski Ball site, the goal is to take the classic game of skee ball and bring it into the spotlight by turning it into a popular bar game, which makes it a key part of adult social life and a recognized competitive sport. For McCormick, the essence of a more laid-back form of competition is a compelling aspect to the game.
This is a great way to be competitive without high-level sportsmanship. You know, if we're going for the championship and somebody rolls, you know, what they call like a fish or a chip, they're all like speaky ball terms that are accomplishments. Everybody claps, we all cheer. It's fun getting ridiculously excited about something as ridiculous as rolling a little wooden ball up an alley and, you know, dropping it in the 40 cup.
Skee ball is almost like bowling. It's always 3 versus 3 with 10 frames in total. Each roller gets 9 balls per frame. And as for the cups, the closer they are to you, the bigger they are, and that means fewer points. The smallest, farthest cup gives you the big 100 points. For rollers who don't want to aim solely for the 100 cup, there are some alternative strategies to still rack up a pretty decent score.
I just tell people just to kind of relax, find a comfortable position, and whatever feels natural, kind of try to go with that. And it's a lot of just muscle memory as well. Just do it over and over again until you get it, your aim perfect.
While COVID did get in the way of some of the seasons and competitions, the skee ballers are back at it and slowly trying to build their teams back up to what they were pre-COVID days. For WUFT News, I'm Krista Jensen.
Incidentally, Brewski Ball is the old name for the league. They're now known as Roll Gainesville, and they're currently in their second season, which wraps up at the end of November. Thanksgiving is a time to pause and be grateful for the people who fill our lives with joy and excitement. We sent WUFT's Sadie Johnson and Ava Simic out again to ask this question. Tell me who you are most thankful for this year and why.
My name is Hamza Ahmed. I'm most thankful for my family because they really are my support system when I'm away from home and I'm studying, and they always just call me and check in on me and kind of just make sure I'm like whatever emotion I'm feeling, just kind of get me through it. So I'm really most thankful for them.
My name is Maya Nicholas.
I'm probably most thankful for the Lord because everything in our life, he put there, and he put there for a reason.
My name is Julia Romano. I'm definitely the most thankful for my family. I just moved here from Pennsylvania, so it's been a little tricky keeping that, you know, connection with them, but I'm very grateful that I have been able to and the support that they've given me moving down here.
Those responses were from people on who they are most thankful for this year and why. It was produced by WUFT's Sadie Johnson and Ava Samak. This is The Rundown from WUFT News. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. As a reminder, our trivia question this week, this forgotten town was the second county seat of Alachua County, but lost importance after the railroads bypassed it. It was then abandoned in the early 20th century. The answer's coming up at the end of the show. Stay with us. We'll be back after a quick break.
This Thanksgiving, we're in pursuit of turkeys. A chef shares his favorite ways to cook the bird. Join us for our annual Thanksgiving extravaganza this week on Milk Street Radio from PRX. Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WUFT-FM.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Join us for Turkey Confidential, our annual call-in show for that crazy cooking day, Thanksgiving. We'll take your calls and get help from our amazing friends, Samin Nosrat, Yassi Arefi, Vivian Howard, and Evan Kleiman. That's Turkey Confidential on Thanksgiving Day from 8 p.m.
At 1 on WUFT 89.1, 90.1.
Artistry in Motion, presenting Ariana Leon Uberti.
I am a digital illustrator. I do a lot of colorful, whimsical, happy art. I had to fall from a tree to discover my art. I always joke that that activated something in my mind that led me to all this, like, creatures and art that I do. The world is full of, like, sometimes terrible things, but what we can do as humans is to create. So I feel that one of my purpose on Earth is to create stuff. It's like I feel this urge of putting myself out, and combined with making people happy makes my whole life. And this is that's why I do art.
Artistry in Motion is brought to you by PNC Bank, working locally to help make a difference.
Welcome back to The Rundown. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. You may have used the phrase, curiosity killed the cat, but did you know that's only half of it? The phrase actually continues to say, but satisfaction brought it back. So why do most people forget the second part? Well, WUFT reporter Faith Smith took her curiosity of idioms to the University of Florida linguistics professor, Jamie Garner. She asked Garner why some commonly used idioms might mean and where they come from.
I mean, they really stem from all over the place. You know, we have idioms that come from old sailing terms. We have idioms that come from business. We have idioms that come from, you know, conceptual metaphors we have, like, you know, love is a battlefield, that kind of concept. So it's really everywhere we've used language, and people have used language in specialized ways to talk about sort of specific things, sort of those jargons that these groups of people came up with as a shorthand end up getting pulled out and extended to everyone else hearing them and everyone else starting to use them to where we sort of forget where they came from.
I thought it would be fun if we went through a couple idioms together. Mm-hmm. I'll just throw one out there and you could potentially tell me what it means. Mm-hmm. There's one that says, curiosity killed the cat. Mm-hmm. But in actuality, the whole phrase is curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction brought it back. Mm-hmm. Does that change the meaning of the phrase? And how might people be using it when in reality it might mean the opposite?
Yeah, so I think what happens is a lot of times these things just sort of get cut down. So, you know, the old saying about blood is thicker than water, but in actuality, the longer thing, and I can't remember all of it, is actually the opposite of what it means. But so many people have just said blood is thicker than water, blood is thicker than water, because, you know, blood is thicker than water. That's five words. That's easier to remember. And so sometimes the ending gets cut off. Curiosity killed the cat. That's four words compared to the longer saying, so it gets cut off and people start using it for situations where it maybe doesn't belong.
There is a saying, many hands make light work. Mm-hmm. But this directly contradicts the other phrase, too many cooks spoil the broth.
Mm-hmm.
What is your opinion of the fact that we are using two different phrases when they directly refute each other? And where might these sayings originate from?
These idioms come from different cultural origins that we have. So, you know, agrarian society, we get that one about, like, we need a lot of people to do big things. I could see the too many chefs spoil the broth coming from a culinary area, and they sort of get brought over to the rest of English language culture, and they become idioms that we use to explain different things. We often run into similar situations with differing results. Sometimes a lot of people's really helpful for a task. Sometimes we really need everyone to stop talking and let one person lead and let them make the decision. So we have idioms that help us cover all of these different parts of life. And that's sort of what makes language fun. You know, we don't say everything very literally all the time. We have idioms that give language spice and give language fun.
What about, have you heard of winning isn't everything?
I have. So that's sort of a, you know, if someone loses and you want to comfort them, you're like, hey, it's okay. Winning isn't everything. There's other things. Maybe you played well, or, you know, winning isn't everything. Maybe there's something else to look forward to. But the longer phrase is winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. Meaning, like, yeah, winning isn't everything, but, like, that's the only thing you should be focusing on. So it's a little less positive spinning on things. It's a little bit more punishing, it feels like. Like, winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. That's the only thing you should have done, and you didn't do it. So I kind of like that we've dropped that other part.
Do you have your own personal favorite idiom?
Ooh, man. If I have a favorite, I don't know, it's sort of like picking your favorite child. You can't just pick just one. There's so many good ones out there.
That was UF Linguistics Professor Jamie Garner speaking with WUFT's Faith Smith to explain the meaning of some of the most commonly used idioms. Speaking of idioms, one of my personal favorites is you grow through what you go through. With Thanksgiving on the horizon, we thought it would be a good time to look back for a moment. WUFT's Ava Samak and Sadie Johnson headed out one last time to ask UF students to share a tough experience they went through this year that they were thankful for.
My name is Serenity DeRussi. For spring break, I went on a mission trip to Cuba, and we had, like, no AC, no water. We literally had to bring our own toilet paper and all of that. But, like, the people there were just, like, so sweet and, like, loving to one another, and they'd give each other food. It was just amazing to see that, like, something that could have been, like, off-putting and uncomfortable for me was just, like, the norm for somebody else.
My name is Marissa Metha. I'm thankful I went to school out of state because I met some of my best friends. It showed me how to, like, broaden my horizons and, like, become so close to people that I never knew before.
My name is Maisie Shaw. I'm an exchange student, and UF wasn't actually my first choice. My first choice was Rome. I'd probably say that, probably, like, the feeling of rejection, but then it's turned into something that's better than what I thought it was going to be.
Those were responses from UF students on some tough things they went through this year, but we're thankful they did. The Rundown is a production of WUFT News out of the University of Florida College of Journalism and Communications. The team that made this show possible this week includes Dave Barriswain, Dana Hill, Krista Jensen, Faith Smith, Ava Samak, and Sadie Johnson. A quick scheduling note, we'll be taking a break next week for Thanksgiving, but we'll be back on December 4th. Our trivia question this week, this forgotten town was the second county seat of Alachua County, but lost importance after the railroads bypassed it. The answer is Noonansville. That's it for the Rundown. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina.